When you pray, do you ever find yourself wondering whether God is listening? You're busy thanking him or asking for his help, and you begin to wonder whether your prayers are getting through. It can feel like you're praying into iron skies and your prayers sort of bounce back. Or you start to question whether he's even there. You catch yourself thinking, perhaps I'm just talking to myself here. Am I going mad? Maybe he's not there after all. I doubt I'm the only one. I expect it's quite common for that to cross your mind every now and again. Because we can't necessarily see our prayers make a difference. If God is listening, why doesn't he answer? Maybe you're convinced that he is listening, but after you've prayed something one day and the next, and again and again and again, it's hard to keep going. Especially if you don't know, well, if you don't see change, if you don't see answers. What's the point? Prayer's very quiet, sometimes dull, and we're so easily distracted. It can feel like a waste of time. And so we stop, or at least tone it down. And we pray when we feel like it, or when we're in trouble. Is God listening? Will he listen to me? Perhaps I'm not doing it right. Perhaps I'm not good enough. I mean, he'll listen to Mike's prayers, but not mine. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 18 because he wants his disciples to always pray and never give up. Luke helpfully points that out for us at the beginning in verse 1 so that we know what this parable is all about. Jesus wanted to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. And we need to be shown that this morning. Because to persevere in prayer is hard. And during a year when it feels as though life is going wrong, this virus and the harm and loss that come with it just won't go away. We may well wonder what good prayer will do. Many people are finding prayer, church, fellowship, very frustrating. Possibly tempted to give up. I don't want to be gloomy, but some people despair of life itself. 2020 can't end soon enough. What good will prayer do? Well, we need Jesus to show us. To show us why we should always pray and not give up. That's the point of this parable. Let's pray for his help now to understand and believe it and put it into practice in the coming days. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, as we learnt last week, that you are a speaking God. You speak to us through your word. And thank you that we can respond, we can speak to you in prayer, and you listen. Thank you for Jesus' parable here, teaching us to always pray and not give up. Show us now why we should keep praying and keep going. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the stories Lucy and I enjoy reading to our children is The Great Granny Gang by Judith Kerr, OBE. Perhaps you've read it, perhaps you've seen it, or you've read it to a child or a grandchild. It's a funny tale of fearless grannies like Maureen the mechanic, Madge the lion tamer, and Maud with her pneumatic drill, who come to the rescue whatever the crisis. I wonder whether our Madge has considered being a lion tamer. Once upon a time, I have to ask her. Anyway, when Granny Mavis Jones spots a robbery from her hot air balloon, she cries, "Granny alert!" to get the gang together. The culprits are young hoodies, busy stealing cakes from the local bakery. And they laugh when Mavis challenges them. That is until the rest of her gang arrives, with tools and lions and crocodiles. And the youths quickly surrender as the grannies restore order. The determination and resilience of these grannies, thank you Sarah, are matched by the persistent widow in Jesus' parable. It gets to the point where the judge is worried that she might even attack him, or literally give him a black eye, verse 5. Now, he's probably exaggerating, but she clearly wasn't going to back down until she got justice. She wasn't going anywhere until she got what she wanted. She didn't have a gang or a line. In fact, as a widow in Jesus' day, she would have been helpless and vulnerable, without family to fight her cause. All she had in her favour were justice, which didn't count for much with an unjust judge, and persistence. But she kept coming to him again and again, morning, noon and night. She was outside in the morning at the door when he got to work. She was there at lunchtime when the court broke for lunch. And she was there at the end of the day when he went home. She just wouldn't let it rest. As for the judge, well, he was the sort of person who just didn't care. Jesus tells us, and he says so himself, "I don't fear God or care what people think." He's a classic villain, if you like, the character you love to hate. If we were casting for a film, I expect the widow might be Maggie Smith on a mean day, and the judge could be played by Al Pacino or De Niro. The judge's job was to deliver justice. And it was really important for everyone in society, because in those days, if you had a dispute, you couldn't go to the police and get them to take it up for you. You had to take your case to the judge. And he would decide, one way or the other. That was his job. But why would he bother to deliver justice if he saw no need to do what was right? He didn't fear God. And why bother to deliver justice if he didn't need to please or help people? He didn't care about them. He was only interested in himself. For some time, he refused to get justice for the widow. It's likely he was waiting for a bribe that never came. But eventually, he gives in and decides to see that she gets justice. Not because she was right, but because it was in his interest. She made it in his interest. The woman is clever and appealing to his character. No doubt she figured him out quite quickly, maybe after the first few refusals and seeing that he didn't really care. She made such a nuisance of herself that it was easier and more convenient for him to get her justice and just be done with it. He just wanted peace. And so out of self-preservation more than anything else, he gave in and got her what she wanted. Jesus tells us to listen to what the unjust judge says. It was because she kept bothering him and wouldn't give up that he gave her what she wanted. I think the message of persistence is clear, which takes us back to the point of this parable, that we should always pray and never give up. The way in which we pray should be like the way in which the widow kept pleading her case before the judge, praying again and again and again. Not giving up, not losing heart, persisting, persevering. Is your prayer life like that? I know mine isn't. But Jesus says it should be. It's hard enough, isn't it, to make the same request every day, let alone cry out day and night, as God's people do. Verse 7. So why should we persist in prayer? Why bother when we find it so hard and we don't really want to? We want to spend our time doing other things that seem more productive and worthwhile. To feel the real weight and worth of this parable, we need to take on board the contrasts Jesus makes between the unjust judge and God. Because God is nothing like this unjust judge. As we know, the judge didn't fear God or care for people. He just loved himself and acted out of self-interest. By contrast, God is love. And he couldn't love you more. He couldn't love me more. He always acts in the interests of others, in our best interests. The widow meant nothing to the judge. Whereas God has chosen us as his elect. Verse 7, all who follow Jesus are his chosen ones. Let's remember that the next time we wonder whether God is there and we think we're praying into space because we made him up. He has chosen us and he has shown himself to us in Jesus. The judge was unjust. He refused justice and didn't think he owed it to God or anyone. Whereas God is the just judge, and he goes to great lengths to uphold justice at great cost to himself. You see, for God, the big conundrum of history is how he could forgive unjust sinners like us without compromising his justice. And as we've been singing and declaring this morning, it was only possible through the death of Jesus, his one and only Son. God's perfect justice and infinite love meet for us at the cross. Where does that leave us? Well, if a rotten judge like that can be persuaded to act justly, how much more can we rely on God to bring justice for us? He's done it before in our salvation, our justification. He can do it again in the situations we face in daily life. And if this widow can persevere in pleading her cause before an unjust judge, how much more can we persevere in prayer as those who know the just judge, God? He's not reluctant or slow or indifferent. He's our Father. We know him personally. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. We have direct access to our perfect Father, who loves to give good gifts, the best gifts. He gives us the very best things as his children. So Luke 11, the reading that Jeremy read earlier on. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit, God himself, present with us, dwelling in us. These are how much more parables, how much more certain it is that God will give generously to us when we ask. We have more than enough reasons to keep praying and not lose heart. If we think we desire justice as those marked by weak resolve and mixed motives, we can be sure that God desires it more and wants to give it to us. So what do you pray about when it comes to justice? What cause do you plead before God? It could be that you've been wronged by someone, maybe treated unfairly at work, bullied at school. It could be that the suffering of others is close to your heart. Perhaps you've been praying for the salvation of a loved one for years, or reconciliation with an old friend. Whatever it is, we all face the temptation to keep quiet and give up. Otherwise, I don't think Jesus would give us here a parable on persistent prayer. It's very hard to keep praying when we don't get an answer, or at least not the answer we want when we want it. And this year of all years, it's tempting to give up out of sheer weariness of life. What's going on in the world? What is God up to? Why has God made it harder for Christians to meet together and worship him? I think another problem we face when it comes to praying for justice is our relative comfort, which means that we get used to relying on ourselves rather than God. It's humbling, isn't it, that Jesus uses a helpless and vulnerable widow and needy children to portray our dependence on God. We may not feel rich and comfortable, but compared to the rest of the world, we are safe and well off. And we can often keep suffering and injustice at arm's length. The persecution of Christians in North Korea and China and Saudi Arabia feels distant, and we don't know much about it. But it's actually the suffering of brothers and sisters, members of our family in Christ. We can be entertained by the spectacular in the news, rather than receiving it as God's prayer letter for a broken world. There are tragedies that really should bother us, like domestic abuse and the many thousands of babies killed each year due to abortion. What injustice troubles you enough to cry out to God? If we feel unheard or weary or comfortable, we may go quiet and give up. That's why we need to hear Jesus' message to us today. Keep praying and don't give up. In those moments when we're wondering whether God is listening, let's remember that our prayers don't depend on us. They don't depend on who we are or how good we are, how we ask. They depend on God, our Father, who gives generously. That's why we pray with confidence. We're not relying on our own merit. We're not trying to manipulate God. We're appealing to his character as a loving Father who loves to give good things. If you're conscious of the need to get your prayer life going again, it can feel a bit like starting a diet or starting a New Year's resolution. We can build it up as a big thing that requires a lot of effort. And we try hard for the first few days, and it quickly falls flat. But it doesn't have to be that way. One of the great things about the Lord's Prayer, which we heard earlier and prayed earlier, is its simplicity. Jesus just starts praying and asks for simple things. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. There's no flowery or religious language, no ritual hoops to jump through. He just starts talking in straight and direct terms. If you didn't hear Mike's sermon last week, do listen to the recording, because Mike models for us that conversation with God. It's relational. He showed us that God speaks to us through his word, and we respond when we speak back to him. And it can be an ongoing thing throughout the day. So rather than sort of building up to this big effort that could just fall flat, just start talking and keep going. Jesus concludes with a sharp twist, verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The question is not whether God can or will give, but whether Jesus will find faith when he returns. He is coming back. And the faith he will look for is expressed in prayerful dependence on the Father. So rather than worrying about whether God will answer, he will, according to his will. We should just get on and ask and keep asking. Prayerlessness is faithlessness. But God's chosen ones keep coming to him again and again and long for the day when he will come as judge to bring full and final justice once and for all. So keep praying and don't give up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this parable. Thank you for Jesus' clear message that we shouldn't stop praying, that we should always pray and not give up. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know that we find that hard. So please remind us in the days ahead of why we should keep praying and not give up. May we show our faith in the way that we pray. Help us to prepare for Jesus' return. In his name we ask it. Amen. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing our final hymn. Please stand.